Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILF.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Give us a call, 393-3700. We'll have more open line segments coming up, the next three after this segment.
This and one's not open.
This one
we're
isn't.
We're talking Michigan football.
Yeah. Maybe. Why don't you do the introduction?
Well, yeah,
Josh.
I mean, I'm thinking, Jack, I got to renew my subscription to the Wolverine. You know, I think it's out.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, because that perfect
Are you freeloading
bound,
now?
No, that perfect bound preview issue's got to be around the corner. I'm thinking I gotta give a call to one of our articulate writers of the whether it be John Borton or Chris Ballas.
How
or
long does it take
Michael
you to memorize
Spath
that
or
issue?
Josh Hemholt. They're all
weeks.
Very well spoken. What's that?
How long does it take you to memorize that preseason issue?
It's a great way to get caught up. And on our line this morning. With a short notice here, Josh Hemholt of the Wolverine. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, guys. The preview issue is out. It's already on bookstore shelves.
Oh, my God. That means my subscription ran out.
You could have had that thing up north.
Well, no, I know I could have. I just got to give him. I got to give him a call.
If you'd had that up north, the family never would have seen you, and that makes me wonder why Tina didn't buy it for
you. Let's do the back part of this interview, Josh, right now. How do I get a copy of The Wolverine?
best way to get a copy of the new preview issue is to call the offices and order it. Their number is 1-800-421-7751, although they're not in today. So
okay, I'll call them on Monday.
But no, it's probably good you're up, you know, you probably should have had it up north because, I don't know if those East Lansing mailmen, usually they have trouble delivering that.
Exactly. They say that one's going to go in the dumpster.
Josh, those back issues for people who missed them, those are only $38.50, right?
The back issues?
Yeah. The ones that if Tom has missed his, his opportunity here, there's a penalty fee with that, right?
Well, I mean, you just make out a special check payable to Josh Hemholt, and we'll take him care of.
Hey, Josh, when I opened that preview issue, I mean, I know the four of you guys put a lot of work into that effort. What are some of the high points of that publication when I open it up?
Well, you know, obviously it's about the 2010 season, so a lot of it's going to be, you know, what issues they face this year, and the quarterback competition is certainly front and center on that. They've got a great, you know, we've got a great article in there about, you know, just the dynamics of that competition and how things are going through. Also a little bit of a profile of how Rich Rodriguez is kind of fighting through those obstacles of what's happened the first couple years. And it's you know, a lot. And obviously the regular previews of the teams that Michigan's playing, in-depth analysis of the positions, the position battles. You know, we sit down with the coaching staff right after spring football and go through and meet one-on-one with these guys and really pick their brains. And one thing, I mean, and Lloyd Carr's staff was very good as well, but I think this staff gets a little bit more candid sometimes. So you get some good comments and you get some interesting insights when you're able to sit down and talk with these position coaches one-on-one and really kind of get their take, especially fresh off of spring football when, you know, they've been with these guys for 15 practices. So, you know, with all the regular stuff's in there, and of course, you know, you flip to the back, we got some good recruiting content too. I don't want to brag, but you know, that's my
Josh's specialty.
That's your thing.
Yeah, he's going.
All right, well, I want to talk a little bit about that. Josh Hemholt of the Wolverine, our guest here on the Jack and Tom Show. Let's start with that in terms of the recruiting and Michigan. Notorious for top 10 recruiting classes. We have always assumed that the players who come into the University of Michigan are good players or they wouldn't have been recruited there. How much of the problem the last 2 years has been that the recruits weren't as good as they were billed?
If you're talking about, you know, the question was, what did Lloyd Carr leave in the cupboard? That has been directed to me so many times. I'll be honest with you. I mean, these... You know, it's not as if the last two classes all of a sudden we had a bunch of overrated guys. It's about player development too, and you're talking about probably a type of player that they're not used to developing. And when you recruit your own guys, you know how to develop those types of athletes. And so you're bringing in players who were very, you know, very highly rated, and there's a reason why they were highly rated. But if you're not used to developing those types of athletes, you may not be able to get as much out of them as the person who evaluated them evaluated them in the first place. And
I get that in terms of the Smurfy wide receivers and
versus the Mark Mundros.
But I guess in terms of defense, if you can tackle, you can tackle, and it doesn't look like the last couple of Michigan teams have learned how to tackle.
No, they've certainly had their fair share of struggles. In my impression, I don't think that this is a group of guys that were vastly overrated. I mean, I went through and watched these guys. I covered these guys all through high school, and you know, I put on my rankings as well, and I see a bunch of guys that probably haven't met their potential. And you're talking about, you know, the last half of the, you know, I mean, a guy like Junior Hemingway who's had so much promise, and he's gone through injuries, and you know, you've had so many guys leave the program. I mean, obviously, Orion Mallet, we knew he was a legit ball player, but you know, he's moved on before Rodriguez even had a chance. There's been a lot of defections from top guys, so you know, I mean, they've gone through their fair share of issues. But you know, I mean, guys like Ryan Van Berg and David Molk, those were guys in that last full Lloyd Carr recruiting class. They've obviously panned out well. Other guys have not, so it's hit and miss. But I think you know why you don't have the steadiness of development in these, or performance in the players on the squad the last 2 years is probably, you know, due as much to development as anything.
Josh, when I went through the you know, on occasion I just go through the roster from last year and you know, citing who is coming back, there are a lot of household names, I mean, names that are recognizable that are coming back. Now, the joke is, oh, yeah, the good news is so-and-so is coming back. The bad news is so-and-so is coming back. But when you talk about a Roy Roundtree, you know, and Martavius Odoms, you talk about the quarterback situation. You got some experienced linemen, Steve Schilling coming back, and then the defense. You know, Mike Martin is in there. And
you're talking yourself into nine wins again.
Well, yeah, there I go. I mean, I just base this on names, but have these kids improved? Do you really believe that there's legitimate improvement from 2009 to what we're going to see in 2010?
There better be on defense, because obviously that was a horrific defense, and you lose your two top players off that defense.
That's true.
So people say, oh, defense has got to be better. Well, I mean, when you look at it on paper, there's not a lot of ways you can see it being better. However, that offense is reason to get excited. Like you mentioned, the offensive line is very solid. A lot of guys with a lot of games started under their belts. You go to the wide receiver position, you've got a lot of depth there. You mentioned Roundtree. He came in on last year. You know, guys like Junior Hemingway, Daryl Stoneham have shown flashes. If they can play consistently, they could be, you know, exceptional weapons in this offense. And Martavius Odom is another guy. There's a lot of depth at wide receiver. The question mark is going to be certainly running back, where you lose Brandon Miner, you lose Carlos Brown, and then obviously who's going to step up at that quarterback position. In the spring, it was Denard Robinson. I'll tell you, I talked with Rod Smith about Denard Robinson for a couple years now, and this guy loves Denard Robinson because mm-hmm. Denard Robinson reminds him of Pat White.
Will he be the quarterback in your mind, Josh?
When you look at these guys, had so much success with Pat White, and you know this year is important to him, you got to figure that they're going to want to go with what they know. Mm-hmm. I expect he is the starter on day one.
I do too.
Because yeah. I think they have a familiarity with him. And obviously, if he can continue his development that he showed in the spring, then absolutely he's going to be a guy that's going to be tough to beat out.
Yeah, but I was very impressed.
Yeah, but the accuracy, you know, throwing the football, you know, was hit and miss last year for Denard. Is you know, and he didn't have the spring ball that Tay Forcier had the year prior when he came in at the halfway point after his you know, his senior year in high school. Denard did not have that, but he's probably caught up then, do you think not?
We'll see. It's certainly, you know, one spring game or you know, 15 spring practices don't tell the whole story, and a lot of things change between the end of spring ball and the first game of the season. The question mark with Denard Robinson is always whether he has that quarterback mentality. Really, in my opinion, the most important aspect of playing the quarterback position. He didn't, I mean, he showed absolutely no signs of that last fall when he came in and played.
Right.
But he started to show some patience in the pocket. He started to show a little bit of poise, a little bit of ability to read defenses when we saw him in the spring. So again, I'm certainly not saying, oh yeah, he's there and he's ready to go. But if he can continue that development, if we see more of that this in fall camp and then going through the first few games here, then yeah, I mean, he's going to be tough to beat, and he's going to be tough to beat again, because I think this coaching staff wants him to be the guy. He's a familiar type of quarterback for that.
Right. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford and our guest Josh Hemholt of the Wolverine. You know, Josh, some people have said Michigan's going to have four starting quarterbacks in four seasons. I said, what? They said, yep, you watch. They had last year freshman quarterback. This year they're going to have a new quarterback, and they're holding the seat, keeping it warm for Devin Gardner, who would then take over, and they can't imagine him sitting behind. He's not a guy who's probably going to switch to another position. So maybe somebody's more likely to switch schools and switch positions out of these three guys.
Well, Devin Gardner is actually more the wild card in terms of unseating Denard Robinson than Tate Forte right now, from in my opinion. Because
is Tate Forte the third-string quarterback?
Really, at this point, I would have to say he's, you know, second string, but he's had a really rough off season. There's a lot of questions about his leadership and his attitude and how he's going to get these guys to rally around him. So Devin Gardner, on the other hand, has grown leaps and bounds. And this was something that I projected on him, because I knew one thing about Devin Gardner is he has a brilliant football mind. He is a guy that really is a heady ball player at that quarterback position. And he is a guy that's going to pick up that offense quickly. He's already done that. And then when you look at his physical abilities, he's pretty exceptional. So, I mean, you could see, you know, a situation where it's not Tate pushing Denard in the fall. It's Devin Gardner pushing Denard for that starting position. Now, I expect Denard is going to be that first opening game starter. But if, you know, it came down to it in the end of the season, that race was a lot tighter than it started, it wouldn't surprise me, because Devin Gardner is obviously extremely talented. And I think he, from a mental standpoint, is certainly the best of these three quarterbacks.
Josh, switching over to the other side of the ball, back on defense, how much the fact that we're finally going to have a D coordinator at Michigan back-to-back 2 years in a row after this, you know, revolving door situation with Greg Robinson being there, do you think that's going to have a major impact on having maybe more prowess defense for the Wolverines?
It certainly doesn't hurt. And when Greg Robinson was hired, I thought that was a slam dunk hire. Now, last year was a terrible season for this defense. So, you know, there's two conflicting thoughts going on there. I mean, Robinson has done it before. He's been successful before. I expect that this defense will probably outperform the on-paper expectations, because I really think Greg Robinson is a legit defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So, but they made some changes, too, to this defense. I mean, it's pretty significant changes in the way that they're going to scheme and the way that they're going to utilize certain players. So it's just a sit back and watch. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, you lose your two best players off that defense, and you've got a lot of guys, namely Obi Eze and Jonas Mouton, in the middle of that defense who really need to step up and show something. You got question marks in that defensive backfield, which is always scary.
Right.
And then you got some talent up front. So it'll certainly be something to watch as we go forward. I think that they outperform on paper expectations, but whether that's enough to get them 6, 7, 8 or more wins, we'll have to find out.
You know, we talk about Andre Dawson making the Hall of Fame and being MVP with the last place Chicago Cubs team. It's amazing, Tom, how good Brandon Graham was last year with a unit that was so bad. If you watch Michigan tape and break it down, he was an amazing player with very little help.
So much respect. And when he left the season, he spoke to the kids. He wants his program to get back on track.
Yeah. Last question, Josh. We have to ask you, in terms of a number, what is the number that Rich Rodriguez needs to be back in 2011, and does he reach that number?
I've always said the threshold number is 7 wins, but when you actually get down and think about it, is Dave Brandon got a number written on a chalkboard somewhere? Knowing him and knowing the way these things go down, there's no way that he goes, well, if he gets to 7, he's sticking, or if he gets to 8, we're going to keep him around. No, I mean, it's a feel thing for a guy, you know, for the athletic director. How does this season play out? I mean, what type of improvement do they show? Are they losing games by 3, 4 points, or are they losing games by 20 points?
Mm-hmm. So they go 7-6 and lose a lot of close games. You think that might be enough?
It very well could be. Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
Do you think it matters to whom they lose? Tom always says that if you lose to Michigan State.
Well, I think if you lose to Michigan State three times in a row, you lose to Ohio State, which would probably be difficult to beat the Buckeyes down in Columbus, and you throw a Notre Dame potential loss there, that's going to hurt his cause.
You know, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the rivalries because this is Michigan, and they got great rivalries. I tend to think it's not as big of a deal, in my opinion, but just depends on the people making the decision. How much does that factor in for them? And to each person, it means something a little bit different, each of these rivalries. So, you know, David Brandon's a new guy. We're going to find out real quick just how important those rivalries are in the overall scheme of things.
Josh Hemhold of the Wolverine, our guest. And, Josh, we really appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again during the season.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Josh.
And you are going to get your subscription renewed this afternoon, if I know you, although you can't probably get through today.
Office is open on Monday, 1-800-421-7751.
And if you are manning the phones at the Wolverine, your first call Monday will be from Tom Crawford. We'll be right back with much more of the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.